Welcome to the FantasyGuru.com Franchise Focus Podcast. Now here's Matt Kemp, Joe Dolan, and Tom Brawley.
And we're back with you here on another edition of the Franchise Focus Podcast at FantasyGuru.com. Matt Kemp, Joe Dolan, and Tom Brawley getting ready to talk about the New Orleans Saints. And if you couldn't come out of the NFC South last year as a playoff team...
You stunk!
Yes, you were terrible. And that's what happened to the Saints. 7-9, they finished in second. They got embarrassed last season. Everything really fell apart. We'll talk about them and what they've done. Certainly a little bit of a shift there in their philosophy on offense. At least that's how we're reading what their offseason has looked like with the additions and more of those subtractions. And not subtractions by cuts, but more by trades. We'll talk all about that, the fantasy implications, where they could be going in the 2015 draft as we lead all the way up to the number one pick, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That'll be next week. We'll have nine more podcasts for you next week. We still have three more after the Saints one. We have the Browns, Vikings, and Rams finishing up this week, and then nine more next week. So we got 13 more coming your way, and this is in 14, which means we're officially into the top half of the first round as we move our way up. We started with the Patriots. We're working our way up to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. These are rolling right along. Before we get into the Saints, we got to tell you that MLB season is in full swing, and you want to get involved right now with FanDuel.com. Sign up now to play one-day fantasy baseball at FanDuel, the leader in one-day fantasy baseball for real money with immediate cash payouts. Those entry fees start at just $1, and you don't have to wait 6 months to win a league. You can play today and win tonight, and you can make every game exciting with FanDuel. And as we enter here, Joe, the second week of the MLB season, some stuff hasn't been corrected yet. You know, we see guys that have started the season on the DL, like a Hunter Pence, and you know, you look at some of the backups that are playing and guys you wouldn't expect, and maybe they're getting off to a good start, and you can play them for cheap.
And obviously, the market doesn't correct itself for a long time. Baseball is a game of small sample sizes, and you really need time to add up to the entire picture. You can play into those small sample sizes. If you don't believe in the concept of a hot hitter, well, just test that tonight, and let's see what happens. See if you can win money on a cheaper player.
Hey, David W. from Tampa jumped in right off the bat. On opening day, he won nearly $30,000. You want to jump in on that? Do it right now because FanDuel is paying out more than $2.5 million every single day this MLB season, but you have to play to win, so sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use our code GURU and sign up now. Special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offers only good for the first 50 people that use our code GURU. Don't forget to use our code GURU. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com. Sign up today. So when we get into the Saints, the first thing you think of is, I hate you, Sean Payton. Why do you ruin my fantasy team each and every week? Well, maybe he's trying to simplify things with the way this offseason has gone, but it's also hurt the fantasy value of the New Orleans Saints, and that starts with Drew Brees. They ship Jimmy Graham off to the Seattle Seahawks. They send Kenny Stills to the Miami Dolphins. That leaves us with a receiving corps led by Marcus Colston and Josh Hill. I mean, who are we getting excited about right now?
Brandon Cooks.
Well, Brandon Cooks, too.
Yeah, he's the one guy we're kind of excited
about.
But
he's even coming off an injury. I mean, we were excited about him, but we were excited about him in the spot he was in, when you had guys like Stills and Graham around him. And now it's Cooks and an older, beat-down Colston and a lot of question marks. Now, we're still excited about Cooks, but the Saints in general, as much as they frustrated us, usually gave you fantasy production. You didn't know who it was coming from on a weekly basis, but you knew Brees was going to be strong. You knew Jimmy Graham, even if he drove you nuts at times, is still going to be a top three tight end. There's a lot of question marks about the Saints right now. So we know they brought Ingram back. They added C.J. Spiller. Pierre Thomas is gone.
Are they transitioning to that run game?
That's the question here. So not only do we see guys like Graham and Stills leave town, and that's going to hurt Brees, but is now maybe, as you're saying here, Tom, and something we've talked about a lot, if you've been reading our player tracker with all the offseason maneuvers, something we've talked about is there a shift in philosophy here for the Saints to more of a ground-based attack? Now, at their best, when they won the Super Bowl in their best offensive years, they were a balanced team. They did want to run the football.
Remember the Mike Bell games?
Mike Bell game. He was in up here. Thomas, Mike, but you had a nice group there. Are they rebuilding that now? And to his credit, Mark Ingram may be the one that kind of set this in motion with his finish in 2013 and a really strong 2014. I mean, I know he's had injury issues in the past and the turf toe. He had a real fluky thing with that broken hand that really, you know, put a quick halt to the great start he had. And then he came back and played well the rest of the way. They gave him a new deal. He's back with Spiller. Doesn't it look like he's the guy that is really their man in the offense, their cornerstone of the offense, especially with Breeze at this point in his career?
You got to wait to see which 13 running backs they sign after the draft and pick out one of them randomly from a hat to give 250 carries to next year. I think that's a little bit of an exaggeration.
It's not happening.
But
they did get Tim Hightower.
Oh my God.
Sean Payton
the touchdown maker Baker.
They couldn't make it that easy. Like, you know what? Wait, isn't Hightower available? Let's bring him in to piss off the fantasy world.
I forgot about that.
I thought he retired like 7 years ago.
I think we could be somewhat excited about it, Ingram. Somewhat.
Oh, did pay him.
They paid him. But doesn't it indicate to you with the way he finished 13, played in 14, the guys they shipped away, and I know they had a lot of money issues. They were in cap hell, worse than any team in football. But with the moves that they've made, doesn't this make Mark Ingram their biggest fantasy asset right now? I guess other than Breeze still.
Yes. I just feel so shaky about saying that, but yeah, I mean, because I'm excited about Cooks.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I'd probably rank Cooks as somebody I'm a little bit more excited about than Ingram, but I really don't feel great about this team in general, and it's going to be really interesting to see where people are going for fantasy, because now I wonder if everybody feels that way, are there going to be some values here? Where you're like, all right, I'll take Marcus Colson in the eighth round. He might not be electrifying, but they traded Kenny Stills, they traded Jimmy Graham, they got to get the ball to somebody.
As maybe the guy who was driving the Colson bandwagon in the last 8 years, I'm not going to do that. I can't think value with this team because it never happens that way because there's always somebody that drives you nuts. He finished 42nd last season at 11.2 fantasy points per game, 59.9022. Kind of surprising to see that he had 15.3 yards per catch, a 98 target, 60.2% catch rate, which is okay but not great. The catch rate was one of the worst of his career. He's been dropping a lot of balls. He played every game. He started just 13 times and didn't start the final two games of the season. And then, of course, they shipped Graham and Stills away, so I don't know if we're reading into that too much. And, you know, as we look at the backfield here with Ingram, now Thomas is gone. I didn't even mention Kyrie Robinson because we thought it actually may be Kyrie Robinson leading the way if Ingram didn't return. He just feels like a backup now. And if anything, maybe steals a touchdown here and there. Isn't it somewhat of a misconception about C.J. Spiller in terms of him being a receiver and what he can and can't do? Because I guess it's kind of easy to go, well, he's a big play kind of guy. He can step in and play the role that, you know, Bush did or Sproles did. He's not exactly that kind of player.
Here's what's interesting is in Spiller's great year, which I believe at this point is 2012, now two full seasons ago, he had an outlier year in just about every department. Now, we were excited about what we saw from him because we thought it lined up with the talent that he showed on tape coming out of Clemson and the flashes that he had shown in Buffalo. And we're like, he finally put it together. He might not be the greatest between the tackles runner, but if you spread it out offensively, he'll hit the hole, he'll make big plays. Oh, and by the way, he can get to the perimeter and catch the ball as well. But other than that, it's all been kind of 6.5 yards per catch, under 4 yards per carry. It really has not been a great career so far.
And the Bills always relied more on Fred Jackson as a receiver and as that pass protector. I mean,
ran the hell out of the ball.
And Spiller certainly, we just can't say he's going to get plugged in and used as that pass catching, you know, Pierre Thomas type guy. You know, I just don't see you just can't plug in Spiller automatically to say that he's going to be making all these catches and doing all that stuff that Kadett and Pierre Thomas were doing last year.
And that said, I think Spiller, though, is probably in a much better spot now than he has been. And I think the fact that the Saints went out and spent the money on him, you would think means they have a plan for him. You know, Doug Marrone inherited him in Buffalo, and of course he blew smoke up our asses. Oh, I'm going to give him the ball 40 times a game or whatever. What was it? He's going to give it to him until he pukes and passes out. Well, it was making us puke, Doug, because you didn't give him the ball at all. Maybe for good reason. But I think Sean Payton is going to get more out of C.J. Spiller. Does that mean I want him for fantasy? That's another story. It depends on where he's
still
going.
That flashy name type guy that's going to go way before he should be getting.
Where is he going, C.J. Spiller and MF? Well, let's talk about Ingram and Spiller, because Ingram might expect to go.
Fascinating.
Is Ingram going in the first four rounds easily?
Easily.
Okay.
Ingram is the 16th running back off the board.
Fair.
Wow. Okay, I thought that's a little more of a bargain than I imagined.
On average, 37.4 pick makes him a late third, early fourth.
Okay.
Type.
It's pretty reasonable.
You know, that's the thing. You go off of last year, that broken hand was a fluky thing.
And I think a lot of these guys, when you hear their early ADP, or you talk ADP in general, you have a tendency to overreact and be like, oh, it's too low, or oh, that's way too high. I would never take him there. I've actually seen, because of the guys who are drafting in these leagues, if you're drafting an NFL 10 early, I give you the benefit of the doubt. I tend to think you know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. I think Ingram's going in a pretty fair spot.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say in the high 20s, so I'm quite happy with
before
that.
Before you hit Spiller, I want to note that Ingram did have 29 catches on 36 targets.
Yeah,
nothing
he's not
we've
a
ever,
total slouch.
We've never expected that from before.
Very
the
low yards per catch.
That's right. He had 145 yards. I will add that.
Okay.
But capable, and yes. they will throw the ball if they need to. Now, Spiller, where's he at?
I'm also wondering how many of these picks were Ingram when he was a free agent, and people assumed he was going to go somewhere else, be the lead back. And
he is the lead back here.
He is the lead back here. I think it's an upset that he's back in New Orleans. I think, and all of us expect him to go somewhere else.
I thought so.
Yeah.
Until they totally changed course here.
They zigged when everybody else thought they were zagging. They zigged in a big way.
Spiller, right now, once again, you have to take into account, not back in Buffalo, was a free agent. Maybe there was a time when people thought, ooh, he might land in Philadelphia, or he might land in Dallas after DeMarco Murray left. Maybe that was kind of changing things up. On average for C.J. Spiller, 58.15 pick. That's a late fifth round average.
What?
26th running back off the board.
No chance.
Okay.
Oh,
so
my God. I thought you were going to say 100. 90s
here's
to 100.
Here's the problem.
Oh,
listen to some of the names going ahead of him and going behind him. Jonathan Stewart ahead of him. I'm taking him ahead of him. Melvin Gordon. You're kind of gambling there, but I understand.
You could
it.
Have good opportunity.
Isaiah Crowell, and this is nine picks in front of Spiller, so there's a drop from Crowell to Spiller. Then after Spiller, Jerick McKinnon, who is 13 picks after.
Yeah,
so there is a clear tier
total
there.
Total question mark on the Minnesota backfield.
Devontae
right now.
Freeman, who I think now he was getting hyped up for a hot minute, and then people are like, wait a minute, they're definitely drafting somebody. So his ADP is a little weird. Shane Vereen is after him. Here's one after him who I'd much rather have than C.J. Spiller if we're talking just for 2015. Frank Gore.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I'd much rather have Spiller.
I
then
can't
Bishop
believe.
Sankey, I'll take Spiller over Bishop Sankey.
I'm shocked Spiller's going this
way. Here's
side.
A name who's going to go ahead of him after the draft, Jay Ajayi.
Yeah,
once
got to
find out
where
he goes.
Lands.
But isn't Spiller in a spot? I mean, when you look at his career now, he hasn't had strong fantasy value in 2 years.
Man,
the last two seasons, he's been garbage for fantasy. So he's coming to a new spot, and once again, with somebody that's capable and a better back than him and Mark Ingram. So he's a big wait-and-see guy. Like, I'm not taking – I think he'll drop from where that is now in redraft leagues. Seventh round? And I'm not touching him there either, but I think he'll fall into more of that kind of spot.
I guess people are just buying into the fact that he's played with E.J. Manuel.
I don't care.
Orton. You know, the last couple years.
That's not why he's.
And one thing we got to say about Payton, he does have some of the most creative screen passes in the game. So they will use Spiller creatively.
There is a ton of catches they have to replace from that backfield. Pierre Thomas.
So there is some upside there.
45 catches, gone. Treveris Kadett, 38 catches, gone. That's 83 out of the backfield alone. That doesn't even take into account
Graham
and Stills catches closer to the line of scrimmage. So there's a lot of catches to replace here. And Spiller, as we stand right now, is the best option on the roster to replace those catches. So I kind of see it both ways. If Spiller is my third in the seventh or eighth round, I'd be okay with it. But man,
if he's your second.
That's a little, I got burned by CJ Spiller. I burned too many people with CJ Spiller a couple years ago. I'm never again as a number two. Not in that spot. But well, if he's seventh, eighth round,
That brings us to a question here from Twitter. This is from Brad on Twitter, used the hashtag franchise focus. He mentioned, and we've kind of talked about this a little bit, two-parter here. Ingram really capitalized when Pierre Thomas missed games with most production coming in his absence. And he said, Spiller seeking out the Saints, and with Thomas gone, do you see him being a great value in rounds 5 to 6 he's going in? I don't think, as a value, absolutely not. Is he end up going to be, will he end up being
there's potential.
Fair in that yeah. spot? I think so, but I don't see the, I think he's too big of a risk to take that early.
But Ingram, on the flip side, is going in a really fair spot.
He has value there.
He played in 13 games, guys, and he was under 10 fantasy points in a PPR in three of them.
And he was the number 12 running back last year in fantasy
points per game.
That's more
running back production than we've seen in years from a Sean Payton offense.
By the way, he played 52% of the snaps. I think that number goes up a little. Not a lot because of Spiller.
But you know what? It can stay there, and if he can maintain a similar level of production, you're probably okay with it.
He did jump from 42% in the first half to 56% in the second half, so they were going up that way. Now, let's note this with Ingram here, that he had never run more than 156 times in his career, and last season was at 226, and I think that number could move up a little bit as well, especially with the adjustments they have made with the guys that they have let go here. Now, we talk about the receiving core, Colston being a value, possibly, depending on where he goes. Not too excited about that. But Stills is gone. Nick Toon. Brandon Cooks is coming back from the injury. We liked what we were seeing from him. And he could, we know he missed a couple of those big plays a couple times.
He got kind of lost in the shuffle of the great year of rookie receivers because he got hurt early. And he was having a weird season. I'm not telling you he was having a bad season. I actually think he was having a good season. But it was a weird season. Remember at home, he was averaging 10 catches a game. On the road, he wasn't doing anything. Really strange. In PPR, he was the number 28 receiver when he went down with 13.9 fantasy points per game. But remember, as I just said, that was really up and down production. It seemed like you were either getting a number one PPR guy or a number four PPR guy and really nothing in between.
Yeah, and like we were saying, he averaged 7.97 yards per target. But, man, Breeze just missed him on a couple deep plays.
Right.
I mean, I can remember Greg Cosell talking to us last year on our conference calls with him, saying that he had him open down the field twice, and it was either a breakdown in pass protection or Breeze missing the
just
throw.
Overthrown, stuff like that.
If he hits three of those plays, all of a sudden we're talking about him with Benjamin and Odell Beckham and Sammy Watkins last year.
Now, Graham is gone. And apparently, I don't know if they're just blowing smoke up our butts once again, they love Josh Hill. And this is the Josh Hill that just stole touchdowns from Graham last season. Ben Watson was stealing some touchdowns as well. But barring a big move in the draft, it looks like they're going to head into 2015 with Josh Hill as their guy. But we've seen enough tight ends, have potential or get their chance to move into a bigger spot and not come through. We've seen it for the last 3 or 4 years now. When, we talked about last year, 12 tight ends averaged double-digit fantasy points. Now, I'll need to see a lot more from Josh Hill before I'm buying in, even with a receiving core that is as diminished as the Saints is right now.
Fantasy players, when it comes to Josh Hill, now once again, remember, a lot of these drafts were before the Jimmy Graham trade. He is already going off the board as the number 18 tight end. Average pick of about 140 makes him a 12th-round pick. The highest Josh Hill has been picked in an NFL 10, pick 77, which is an early mid-seventh round pick. That's a little brave for me. Now, if they don't add anybody,
I think they will in the draft.
By the way,
they all of a sudden have a lot of early picks. Max Williams
sounds like
a perfect pick at 31.
31 is so, the pick where you can zero in.
That just has Max Williams written all over.
I remember
he's a good move tight end. He could be creative in Sean Payton's
Max
offense.
Max Williams in early mocks before the Graham trade going in that pick to Seattle.
Yeah.
So people think that he's a guy who could be available.
He's in that 30 to 40 range probably anyway. So it just makes too much sense for that spot.
Now, we talk about the draft here in a question here from Cedric on Twitter. Will the Saints use their multiple picks that they have to move up and get a few high-round picks instead of all nine picks? I think Saints fans would love it to work out that way, but it's not that
easy.
Here's
what happens, though. When a team has nine draft picks, it's an upset if they don't make a trade. Whether they trade up or trade back.
But I almost feel like that's more of, we're going to move up later in the draft. So yeah. We're going to move our third round pick that's at 90 up to get
it's 84.
It's a thing where you get to day two and you go, that guy's still there. We get to go get him.
I don't see them making that major move to move up from 31 to the 20th.
It's the move to move up in the start of the day.
You know,
when a new day starts and a guy's still there and they have the overnight to go, wait a minute, we can get him. Let's go move those picks up.
What's chic about this idea is that before the Phillip Rivers rumors popped up, the Saints were one of the Mariota teams. They have two first-round picks. They could trade up to get the future in Marcus Mariota, or maybe they could trade Drew Brees. That appears that rumor has far less legs than the Chargers rumors do at this stage. I don't think Brees is getting moved. The Saints have the ammunition to surprise a little bit. But frankly, guys, I see a roster that has a ton of holes on it.
Yes. I mean, they got to address the offensive guard. They got to go after defense. I mean, I think that's why they're kind of making the switch. This defense has been epically bad for the last couple years.
And
they saw what the Cowboys did last year. They controlled the ball. Keep your terrible defense off the field. And I think that's really what this is why this move is coming about.
In a way, we're kind of looking like a similar team at this stage last year to the way we're talking about the Saints. It seemed like a team that was in limbo. We thought they had an epically bad defense, as you said. And I think the Cowboys had a good defense last year?
No, but they weren't.
No imagination.
But they masked the issue.
They masked the defense.
And that's what I see. Sean Payton, he said, he looked himself in the mirror. We have a terrible defense. It's not getting any better.
And they've wasted some money on that defense.
Well, Jairus Byrd might go down as one of the worst free agent signings of the last decade. For a team that was already in cap hell, to dedicate money to a guy who, I mean, what, he played six games and was terrible in those six games? You're right, Tom. I think that's a perfect idea. Matter of fact, they even went out and signed Anthony Spencer, a guy who was on that Dallas defense last year. So I think, you know what, the first time I thought of those parallels, but I think I can see them. You know, is Brees the super mega elite anymore? I'd say he's still elite. I think he's dropped out of
the We didn't touch on him much.
Yeah, we
he still could finish in the top five. It would not surprise us to see that happen. But I don't think we're going in with those expectations anymore
I haven't had Drew Brees on a fantasy team in years. Matter of fact, I think the last time I had Brees was when I won a SiriusXM league, host league with him. I think you can argue that I could have Drew Brees on some fantasy teams this year.
Where's he going right now?
68.99. He's a sixth round pick.
That's the lowest we've seen from him since he's been with the Saints. Without looking back at history, I pretty much can guarantee that's the lowest he's gone in his time with the Saints.
This is absurd. Fourth quarterback off the board in NFL 10s. Now remember, you also have to take into account NFL 10s are very conducive to streaming quarterbacks and drafting them late, because you can have Dalton, Matt Castle, and Alex Smith as a trio, and you might get top 10 quarterback production out of them if their good weeks fall in the right weeks.
I don't think he will be the fourth quarterback off the board in regular redrafts. I don't think it'll be. I think he'll be more in the 5 or 6 range this year.
Who do you think is going to go in front of him, curiously? Luck, definitely.
We got Luck, Rodgers.
Those two, I would think, will definitely go ahead of him.
I think Brady probably will.
I think Peyton still goes ahead of him.
I think Peyton does.
Peyton's right behind
him.
They're essentially tied in NFL 10 data.
I think you can make the argument for Matt Ryan.
Yeah. At this point, the way that the offenses are going,
I don't think I'd take Newton in front of him. No way.
No.
No.
Roethlisberger is an interesting one, but I still don't think that would happen. I think you're right. If
it looks like that sixth spot.
This
then,
could actually
between
be
between Ryan and Brees.
I think would we all agree that our usual expectations of him finishing in the top five, easily the top five, typically the top three, that's gone.
That is not
gone.
Not
that's
a guarantee.
Possible, but I'm not guaranteeing that at all. Now, this is going to look a lot like a year maybe from 2 or 3 years ago, where my baseline strategy, if you're asking me, come August, what I'm doing. Well, I tell you, I'm going to wait on a quarterback. But this might be one of those years where maybe Peyton or Brees falls to the right spot. And the best receiver on the board is Michael Floyd. And you're like, I just really don't feel good about him. I'm going to take Breeze, and I'll live to fight another day in the next round.
The reason I have no problem taking Peyton over Breeze is because there's not massive shift I don't see coming in Denver. In New Orleans, you've lost two big receivers in Stills and Graham, and it seems like there's more focus on the ground game, and we saw some cracks in the armor for Breeze.
Denver, we saw some cracks with Peyton last year, too.
But he still has Demaryius and Emmanuel Sanders, and he still has a nice backfield with, you know, C.J. Anderson leading the way. I think the combination of Owen Daniels and Virgil Green is going to be better than what the Saints have replacing Jimmy Graham. And it's still, I mean, I think the Broncos still are going to put the ball in Peyton's hands. You have all that, and I know you have Kubiak there. That's a change. But I think there's more being taken away from Breeze in New Orleans, whether it's responsibilities, the shift in the offense, the names that are no longer there. There's not as many changes in Denver, and they're maybe reloading with Cody Latimer, whereas I don't think you're reloading with a lot there in terms of your receiving corps. So that's why I would still take Peyton over Breeze.
I would, too.
And as Joe said, could be a year where those guys could actually end up on our team.
But it's fair that those guys are starting to fall a little bit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
These teams, they're old. They're old, and they're both – both offenses are slowly transitioning more to a run. I mean, it's fair that these guys are not sure thing, you know, number three quarterbacks anymore.
So very interesting offseason for the Saints, surprising many, including us, and may not have as many fantasy-relevant players as we've seen in the years past, and maybe that even started in 2014. We appreciate your questions, and you can always get them in for future podcasts. Use the hashtag FranchiseFocus, and make sure you also tweet them to us at FantasyGuruSite, at TheMattCamp, at FG_Dolan, at FG_Brawley. And one more reminder about FanDuel, because MLB season is rolling right along into the second full week of the year, and FanDuel is changing the way people play fantasy baseball. Sign up now to play one-day fantasy baseball at FanDuel.com. Entry fees start at just $1. You don't have to wait 6 months to win a league. You can play today and win tonight. You can pick a brand new team any day you want. So if there's a guy that you're just sick of on your season-long team, and you're going, nobody wants to trade for this guy, but I can't cut him yet, you never have to use that guy in FanDuel. Go find somebody else. You're not tied to anybody on your FanDuel team.
Maybe there's a guy that's out there that's caught your eye, you know, young player that's, you know, really tearing the ball off the cover. I mean, the cover off the ball. You can go get him for cheap right now, and hey, take advantage of the hot start for that guy.
Well, how about Garrett in Denver? He won $660 on opening day alone. And if you want to get part of that money, well, you got to know that FanDuel is paying out more than $2.5 million every single day this MLB season. Go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use our code GURU and sign up now. Special offer for new users. Every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200. That gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offers only good for the first 50 people that use our code GURU. Don't forget to use our code GURU. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FANDUEL.com. FanDuel.com. Sign up today. So officially into the second half of the Franchise Focus podcast, working our way up to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with the number one pick. And that'll be up next week. So we'll have a whole week to catch up on these, digest them, think about them, and send your questions in on Twitter with the hashtag FranchiseFocus. And then, hey, you know what? By the end of April, our early bird special is done. So you want to get in on that right now. $24.95, $5 off the regular season price. And we already have plenty of content up. We've talked about our, you know, these podcasts, looking back on 2014 and ahead to 2015. We did those season reviews. They're up on the site. We have all the player movement tracked on the site and the fantasy implications of those moves. We have the pre-draft rookie report by the guys and the pre-draft rookie report podcast with John Hansen and Greg Cosell. They also did a post-draft, post-free agency podcast. So plenty of stuff there. A lot more coming your way right here at FantasyGuru.com. For Joe Dolan and Tom Brawley, I'm Matt Camp. Thanks for listening. This has been another edition of the Franchise Focus podcast at FantasyGuru.com.